Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of Darren Donick and Chase. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you. Darren McFarlane is off this week on vacation. We got Elijah Campbell back in the studios, and we are ready to rock and roll today again. So, as a lot of you know, if you've been paying attention since early this morning, it's become a habit every morning now, the last week or so, unfortunately. You wake up and you see if there's any new positive tests from the Titans. In fact, that was the first thing my son asked me tonight when he came down and was getting ready for school. Have they said if there's any new positive tests? And sure enough, that was right about the time that they did come out with that. So that's 2 straight days. And so, as we've learned, that should open the door to open the facility back up, although that has not been officially stated as we sit here today starting our show. So, Chase, there we have it. The daily dose of what's going on over at the Titans. Mike Vrabel is scheduled to speak at 12:30. We will carry that live. And we will see what he has to say and see what transpires between now and then.
Yeah, and if you go and read from ESPN.com, Dan Graziano and Diana Russini, who have been, I mean, really, and Adam Schefter, too, they've all been on top of this story since it began. They reported no positive COVID-19 tests on Tuesday. That means that the team can return to the facility on Wednesday, according to this report. I'm sure we will get more information from Mike Vrabel, as you stated, of what the protocol will be on returning to the facility. But I know that he did pretty much indicate that they're preparing. He said he did his Titans radio show, and I was reading quotes from Teron Davenport, and that he said that they're pretty much preparing like they're not going to have any of these players that are on the COVID list. So I think that's a pretty fair assumption that they're not going to have those guys come Sunday when they take on the Bills. But it appears that it's going to be a go, and they're going to, with no positive test today, they'll be back in the facility. So you take what you can get, and at least under this scenario, you're only going to have to play, I guess, the one game, you know, because the Pittsburgh game got rescheduled. So hopefully by the time they play Houston, which they had some news yesterday, they'll be able to have these guys back.
You keep your fingers crossed on that. Because everybody reacts differently, but I think the timetable is better for that game. But that is an interesting piece of news, and a really nice boon for the radio show that gets to talk to Mike Vrabel on a day, you know, the last couple of days he hasn't had any sort of media availability, so that was a little window into what he was prepared to say at the time. Now, hopefully we'll learn more at 12:30, but that is a good nugget that he's not expecting any of those guys back, because we've all done the math of when was the positive test. Here's how many days you have to be asymptomatic and test negative on consecutive days. The Patriots are going through that with Cam Newton right now. So we're just talking about to be eligible to come off the COVID-19 list. But it sounds to me like they're preparing to roll without all 10.
Yeah, and one thing that we're going to keep saying as the show goes on until somebody confirms it is the facility could open on Wednesday. It's not a definite, but all indications are that that's going to be what happens. And if that is the case, even though they haven't been in there for a week, you still feel better about preparation for the Bills, because on a typical game week, I mean, you'll come in on Monday for film and all of that. Tuesday's the off day, and then Wednesday is when practice actually begins. So you're kind of back on schedule, and they've been meeting virtually. I was reading through different memos last night sent from the NFL, And you could tell Roger Goodell is not happy that something like this has happened, and has pretty much said that we're going to crack down on this. That, you know, if anybody gets lax or violates protocols, that they're going to be punished for that. And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about this yesterday, and a lot of it was speculation. I listened to a good bit of what Floyd had to say with Jared, and I don't think there was any ill, you know, mal, you know, it wasn't on purpose is what I'm trying to say. And but it does feel like things were not done the way that they needed to be. And if the NFL comes out and they say that, then I think there could be punishment to follow, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I know that the NFL does not want to have to alter the schedule again because of, you know, a team not doing what they're supposed to do. So hopefully it's a lesson for everyone that this thing is real and you have to pay attention to it.
I guess I have to say I was a little bit disappointed with the memo. I read it, and in terms of new protocols, it was kind of like we might do this and we're thinking about doing that, but there was no definitive change. So why would you put that in a memo? I don't get that. Is that just it just sounded to me like a stern warning, don't be like the Titans or else. That's the theme I got out of it in reading it. They clearly, without even mentioning the name of the Titans, singled out the Titans.
Yeah.
We've had one outbreak, but it didn't have any changes to the protocol that I saw. Did it?
No,
did I
not
read
really.
It wrong? It was, we might change this, and we've talked about changing this, but what does that mean? It's just like a reprimand. It's like you line up all 32 teams. You know, I'm thinking about the movie Stripes. Right? I don't know how many people have seen Stripes, but Sergeant Hulka comes out. He knows that Bill Murray and his buddy, Russell Ziske, who is Harold Ramis, is the actor's name.
Yeah.
He knows that they snuck out, right, after curfew. He's lined everybody up there, and he's yelling at them saying, you know, I'm going to find out who broke curfew. I got ways of finding out, so who's man enough to step forward? Like, he already knows the answer, right? He's only mad at Bill Murray because he knows it's Bill Murray. But he wants to make an example to everybody. So that's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah, well, let me read the paragraph that you're kind of referencing.
Yeah.
During our discussion today, we reviewed changes to the protocols agreed to with the NFLPA designed further to limit the chances of the virus spreading within a club. These changes include a longer onboarding process for free agent tryouts, bans on gatherings outside of the club facility, limitations on the number of tryouts permitted per week, and implementation of a league-wide video monitoring system to ensure compliance with the protocols, particularly the mandate that all staff and players wear PPE while in the club facility and on travel at all times. We also discuss additional steps to minimize risk. Consider holding all meetings virtually, wear masks or shields during practice and walkthroughs, decrease the size of a traveling party, reduce the time spent in lunchrooms and locker rooms, and consult the proximity tracking device information daily to identify areas where your club could eliminate close contacts. So what I took away from that was there was a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
Now,
you had a meeting, you had a lot of discussion, but there's nothing in that changes the protocol.
Now, I can't really take away from this. Are they saying that they have put, you know, because I know I was reading that there will be a longer onboarding process for free agents, that, you know, they'll hold them out longer to make sure that they're all clear.
Well, that's the one thing that jumped out to me.
And the video monitoring system. Because I know, because remember in the NFL's investigation, they've looked at the videotapes to see who's wearing a mask, who's got their tracker
right
on.
But
all that stuff.
Yeah, okay. But the one thing that jumped out to me, though, is when you sign somebody to the practice squad, having a longer period of time that it takes, that made me think, what did happen with Maben, the young man who was signed to the practice squad and then put on the COVID list? Is that where part of the issue with the Titans started? You're trying to learn from what happened here. And so between now and 12:30, I'm really hoping that we get more from the league. right? We need a definitive answer. Is the facility open or not? Number two, what are the findings? What are the sanctions that you found out from the investigation? Mike Vrabel needs to be able to talk about that. Otherwise, there's going to be plenty of things that he knows but can't say if the league hasn't released it yet. So that's not a good spot to be in. And if the league puts it out there, then he can at least say, well, this is what we addressed going forward. And we can talk about what we've learned from the whole process here.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that he's able to give some answers. Because if it's just the same thing, then, like you said, I mean, that just doesn't really do anything for us. It, he needs to be able to answer the questions. You know, was it a player that violated it that they started this? Did Shane Bowen give all the information he needed to give? Did he come in when? Because we've heard a couple of different scenarios that Maben had it when they signed him, or Shane Bowen was around somebody that had it and then came to work anyway. You know, so where's the truth, or is it somewhere in the middle? I think that, you know, that's important, and that's, like I said yesterday, that's something that we need to know. And when I say we, I mean us in the media, the fans, everybody. I mean, anyone that has an investment in this team, I think, deserves to know what happened and why they missed a game.
I just was a little disappointed in the memo. I wanted more definitive. If the protocol needs to be changed, then announce the changes, or put in there that we will be getting this ratified with the Players Association or something. But of course, I don't know that they meant for it to go public, but obviously there's a lot of national reporters that are going to find memos like that, you know? So it just sounded to me like it was, our protocols are working except for one team. I wonder who that is, you know, and they didn't even name them, right?
Right.
Of course, everybody knows who it is, but that lends it toward, I'm concerned for the Titans, because that sounds a lot of like the language that Adam Schefter was reporting on Sunday, that there's a feeling that the Titans did not follow the protocols. So if so, what are the ramifications for that?
Well, I know that it does, because again, this memo that we're talking about is a lot of not speculation, but a lot of discussion and a lot of, well, this could happen. And it does mention forfeitures of game, you know, forfeiting a game, that if you violate this and you have to change the schedule again, that you just forfeit the game if they find fault with the team. So
that also says players don't get paid for games that aren't played.
Yeah. I think that gets people's attention. You know, draft picks and, you know, taking money out of the players' pockets, I think that's going to get their attention. And it sounds like that the PA is on board if that is where they go. And so if the PA is agreeing to it, it's the player saying, all right, yep, we understand. We buy this rule.
But it goes back to something that's fundamental, I think, for everybody in our lives and where we are right now. Are they saying that the Titans did something negligent to start it and then something negligent to spread it? Like, I think it, you know, if it's found out, like, let's say the Marlins, who I guess were pretty flippant at the hotel, they went out to the hotel bar or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if they ever said definitively, but there was a sense that they didn't pay much attention. Then a couple people tested positive, and then they went out and played the next day, and it was the textbook way not to do it. I don't know what they're saying with the Titans, but I do know this. When you're not in the bubble, you could have somebody who's trying to do the right things just happen to be around somebody got it. You know, and that's not anybody's fault.
No.
You know, that's why you can't – I don't like the shaming thing unless it was a blatant break of the protocols and nobody was paying any attention. I just find that hard to believe that the Titans weren't paying any attention to that stuff. I would just be really surprised to learn that. Now, maybe I'll be surprised, but that's just not the sense that anybody who covers the team has witnessed, right? There hasn't been any sense while they've played the three games and had the training camp that there was this flippant attitude towards all the protocols, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just That's why I think, you know, with us talking about this memo and trying to figure out exactly what it means, that's why I'm hoping that the NFL will have some sort of definitive announcement or give us their findings or what have you, you know, some point today. It, preferably before Mike Vrabel speaks, but
yeah,
at least some point today.
Well, let's tell you what we are going to do today. We'll keep monitoring that situation. And also, the NHL draft is tonight at 11 o'clock. Adam Vingan will join us. We'll set the table for that. There will be some moves, some shuffling around the league. There's already been a couple of trades. We'll get into that at 11 o'clock. At 12:30, as we said, Mike Vrabel will address the media. We'll have that for you. Coach Derek Mason of the Commodores will join us at 1, and then Mitch Light from The Athletic will join us at 1:15 to talk some college football. And in the meantime, if you've got reaction, jump on in with anything you want on your angle of this, how the situation's been handled, where they go from here, repeating what has happened. The good news, no positive test from the Titans for a second straight day. That should mean that they can open the facility, but it hasn't officially been said yet. But I'm thinking it's moving in that direction.
I'd love to hear from somebody that got tickets to the game, to the Steelers game, but we know that that wasn't an easy process at all. Somebody that went through all of that to try and get tickets to the game only to have it moved. And I'd love to know how they're feeling about this.
Well, also,
situation.
What has been done about that? That's another good question. Is now, as hard as that was to determine who gets those tickets, now you've got to make the adjustment for those that maybe can't make that day.
Right.
The owners of those tickets who can't go to the game.
I can't go that date. I got
is there a policy to return them to the team, or are you just stuck with them and you'll sell them on your own? I don't know. But
right.
That's not the top priority, but it is, you know, customer service kind of stuff that we got into last week. Let's break here. When we come back, we will we'll talk further. We'll also go over what happened last night, two big games in the league. You know, one of which between two AFC teams that the Titans are paying very close attention to, the two teams that they played in the playoffs last year, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about that game and more. Just getting started here on Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Hour number one. What's next for the Titans? We will see. Waiting to see if there's any more official news before Mike Vrabel takes the microphone at 12:30. Remember, if you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025 by call or by text. The phone or text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And so make sure that you tune in and weigh in. We want to hear from you. Also, tune in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on The Game. Brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. Sunday, it'll be the Giants against the Cowboys at 3 p.m. Somebody has to win the NFC East. Somebody will be given the title of NFC East champion. And as bad as the Cowboys have been, they're only a half game out of first place. So they've been a mess. Lucky to have the one win, but still very much in play there. We won't get into that right now, but Chase, let's do look at last night, because I thought it was very interesting to see what the Patriots would bring to the table under their circumstances. And I think people here were paying special attention of, you know, what they had gone through. No new positive tests, all that stuff. They were able to board the plane. They had two separate planes. So there were some adjustments made to the protocols, which I still would like to hear explained a little further. They had a brilliant game plan for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. They did a great job holding them in check to give themselves a chance, but of course, without Cam Newton, they shot themselves in the foot a bunch with scoring chances there, so the game ended up getting away from them. But pretty interesting what they tried to do last night.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I was like, okay, you know, Belichick, he schemed the Chiefs. He knows Andy Reid. And so it looked like they had a plan. The problem was they didn't have a competent quarterback to execute that plan.
Well, he got him down there. And then once they got down there, that's when the goof-up happened.
Yeah, it would stall out, and then they made the switch. They went from Hoyer to Stidham, and Stidham on his first drive leads him down, and it's looking, okay, all right, they're in this. maybe Stidham was the ace in the hole, and then it just flames out after that. I mean, it shows you that Kansas City, just how good they really are. I mean, they're you may watch the beginning of a game and go, okay, somebody's got them tonight. They got them figured out. But Andy Reid, I was watching, and I even listened to some of the radio broadcasts. And on the radio broadcast, which was on SiriusXM, and it was Kansas City's home broadcast, they were saying that during one of the defensive series early in the game where they were struggling on offense, Andy Reid spent that entire defensive series on the bench with the offense, with Patrick Mahomes, drawing up the game plan, completely changing things. And as we saw later on, it worked. That's what Andy Reid does. That's why they finally broke through and won the Super Bowl last year, because Andy Reid is so methodical in how he goes about planning a game. And that's what happened. I mean, you had, in my opinion, probably one of the best offensive-minded coaches versus one of the best defensive-minded coaches in NFL history, and the offensive-minded guy won. I would love to see that game again with Cam Newton under center for New England, but that's not going to be the case unless they meet in the playoffs.
But I think Bill Belichick, for a team that's sitting there 2-2 and has had the adversity now of not having their quarterback, and that's going to be what you hear a lot of, is the protocols. You know, we don't know if Cam Newton is asymptomatic or not, but a lot of focus now between where we sit today and Sunday will be, when can Cam Newton play again? I mean, you know that every Patriots fan is saying, please, Cam, when can you come back? But we don't know what the answer is. But it is a brilliant move by Bill Belichick just to get done what they got done. If he had gotten average quarterback play, I think they would have been right there in the fourth quarter. So everybody learn about Kansas City's offense based on what the Patriots did? I mean, they have an excellent defense, so they're going to be in a lot of games. But if there's such a thing as 2-2 with two good losses, I think the Patriots have that going for them to a degree.
Sure. It was reported by ESPN that as of Monday, Cam Newton was asymptomatic for coronavirus. So, because I thought I heard Jim Nantz say that last night during the broadcast as well. So far, according to reports, he does not have symptoms. And as we pointed out yesterday with the Titans, that if that is the case, it's my understanding that it's 5 days on the COVID list. If there are symptoms, it's 10 days. But if he continues not to show symptoms, then they'll probably have him back this week.
And if that happens and there's no other positive tests, that is going to be a question that's brought up. And we're all from the outside and we're all just asking these questions. Is Exhibit A for the league, and ironically so, is the Patriots, right, who are notorious for cutting corners and bending rules, breaking rules, out-and-out cheating, depending on what perspective you hold. But they're the example for the league of how to handle a positive test. And then you have the Titans, where it didn't go well. But the circumstances, I'm sure, weren't exactly the same. No two are. And so, though, again, it comes back to, we're awaiting what the findings of the league are for the Titans here. But if the Patriots can get through without Cam Newton for just the one game, that's a big check mark for them, because they do look like they're moving forward. My prediction of the Patriots and Buccaneers both failing to make the playoffs looks worse by the week.
Yeah. I think you might be a little off on those.
Well, it's early, but
it is.
But yeah, I'm not looking good at this point. But Jared Stidham, you can certainly see why Cam Newton was brought in, and the same thing with Brian Hoyer. It also illustrates, I think, for every team, especially this year, where that could happen to any quarterback, even if it's just for one game. Do you have a guy that can go in there and do the job for you for one game?
Yeah.
How many teams would the Patriots have beaten last night? Probably a few.
Well, right? I wonder too.
Because they did move the ball. Like I was surprised. Like, they ran the ball pretty well, even for a team that has had no, you know, like I saw a narrative on Twitter was, why are the Chiefs making it so easy on Hoyer here? They're letting them run it. They're, you know, they've got easy throws that are there, and they're getting yardage out of it. Like, it didn't seem like they were really putting the heat on him, but it was a little bit of, If we just let them play, eventually they'll make the mistake, and that's exactly what happened.
I think another thing that you have to consider in all of this is the facility was closed. So if they had had a couple of days with Hoyer with the ones and able to game
right.
plan and look at situations, you know, do some situational study with Kansas City, does that make a difference? Now, Brian Hoyer, no offense to Brian Hoyer, but there's a reason that he's pretty much been a career backup. There's a reason that this is his, you know, he's been with the Patriots three different times. I mean, this is just, he's a journeyman. That's what he is. But if he had had more preparation time like a normal week, what would that have looked like? Would it look have looked any different? Because I'll admit, while Kansas City is very good, they do show you some warts early in a game. I mean, they were like you said, they were moving the ball. So it's capitalizing on those opportunities. And you do wonder if a team's going to be able to do that at some point in the season. But I believe their last loss was to the Titans here in Nashville last November, if I'm not
yes,
mistaken.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been that long since
and it took
they've
lot
lost a game.
For the Titans to win that game.
Oh,
you had Mahomes coming back from injury, so maybe he wasn't 100% sharp, maybe a little rusty, even though he's still really good. And then the craziness at the end of the game just to have an opportunity to win it. So some things had to fall right. And of course, the Titans were pretty depleted injury-wise in that game. So it's not like the Titans played the best game they've ever played to win that. But that is a great question, is who will beat the Chiefs? What will it take to beat the Chiefs? I think the Patriots fans will go away saying, I hope we get another crack, and hope if we have Cam Newton there, we know we can have a shot. And so that's what they have going for them coming out of that. Meanwhile, in the other game, Aaron Rodgers, who continues to lose weapons around him, nobody drafted him any weapons to add, he's only maybe the MVP of the league after four weeks.
I know.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he looks like the Aaron Rodgers of old, and you know that offense that Matt LaFleur has there in Green Bay, it seems to be working. And I'll admit, I was wrong on that one because I thought last year was just that, flash in the pan. They didn't get him any help. I mean, they drafted his replacement. He's not going to be happy. Well, it's looked pretty good through four games so far with LaFleur and Rodgers and that connection. And, you know, the guy that LaFleur eventually replaced, Mike McCarthy, is in Dallas, and it's not looking good there. So it just shows you how good Aaron Rodgers really is. And I know it's early in Dallas, but Aaron Rodgers last night, he looked awesome. And then on the other side of that, you wonder what's going to happen. Bill O'Brien got fired yesterday for an 0-4 start with the Texans. Is Dan Quinn next? Because I think we all thought that Dan Quinn or Adam Gase would be the first to go. Billy O gets shown the door as the GM and the head coach in Houston. But will Atlanta make a move next?
It's very possible. It does seem like things start to snowball, even if you have some things. I mean, you're looking at the Falcons, who are saying, man, we were so close to winning two of the games. We goofed them up. We easily could be 2-2. But when you are 0-4, the snowball happens. The momentum starts working against you. Now, Julio Jones gets hurt last night. It seems like sometimes it's just destined to go off the rails. And the coach usually pays the price. Bill O'Brien did. I want to get to that in our next segment here because I think that's a huge thing for Houston going forward is what does this do now for the Texans, not just this season, but in the coming seasons, because that changes the whole landscape of the AFC South for sure. But I do want to mention one more thing about the Packers is that Matt LaFleur now, his record is what, 17-3 as the head coach?
Yeah.
It's really something because he went from the really hot name that was young and up and coming as a head coaching candidate that lost out to Mike Vrabel in the interview process. But then Mike Vrabel was smart enough to grab him and put him on the offensive staff for the 1 year.
It wasn't a great year.
It wasn't a great year for the offense. Well, I mean, it really wasn't, but
yeah.
I do think looking back on it, it was he had a lot of things working against him with injuries and depleted wide receivers. They just didn't have much. Marcus Mariota obviously struggled some. They still won their fair amount of games, right? But it is interesting how Aaron Rodgers can take a group where you take Davante Adams out of the lineup. They had the other kid, Lazar, who was off the practice squad and looked like a budding star, and then he gets hurt. And they still find a way to have enough production. But it's really the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, and Matt LaFleur pretty much said as much. It makes your job a lot easier as a coach when you've got that. But I just want to tip my hat to Matt LaFleur, because I think the minute that the Packers hired him, we were all saying, wow, that's a little bit outside the box.
I was surprised.
To grab him coming off the year that he had. Usually it's like a team going to the Super Bowl or having huge offensive numbers for a guy like that to get the coaching job. But the Packers saw something there, and they've been rewarded for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, got to see it in the playoffs. You know my
– Sure.
Going back to Bill O'Brien for a second, I know we'll get into that, but that's been my whole thing with him of, sure, he wins divisions, he's great in the regular season, but then what has he done in the playoffs? Now, granted, Matt LaFleur in 1 year got his team to the NFC Championship game. That's not too bad. But can they build upon that? Can they win a ring before Aaron Rodgers calls it a career? We'll just have to wait and see.
All right, when we come back, we'll get a little bit more into the Bill O'Brien situation as he has been let go by the Texans. They're 0-4. What does it mean in the AFC South now and in the coming year? Stay tuned. We're coming back.
You know, if we really want to be honest, Bill O'Brien, the GM, got Bill O'Brien, the head coach, fired. Because Bill O'Brien, the head coach, wasn't bad. He won four out of the last six AFC South titles. They've done some good damage in the AFC South, but Bill O'Brien, the GM, has the two first-round picks chilling in South Beach in 2021. So this is a team, you mentioned, Adam, the payroll is high, you have no first-round picks, so whoever's going to be the next GM that comes in there really has nothing to build off of. Bill O'Brien, the head coach, did some good things in Houston, but it just goes to show you, when you put the two titles in one person, sometimes one person, the head coach, can't help the GM out and vice versa. So I honestly think, I hope Houston going forward hires a GM, and then that GM picks the head coach, and I truly hope they aren't the same person, because that's what got Bill O'Brien in trouble.
There's Booger McFarland talking about the situation for the Texans, and he certainly does not have a unique take on it. I think everybody thinks the same thing, and I think people have believed this for a long time, Chase, that it is extremely difficult in the NFL, especially today, to be the coach and basically the GM. It's almost impossible to do it. You need a partnership. You need two people working together who feel the same way about things to really be effective. And so this is what Houston is left with as they move forward. They're 0-4 going forward this year. Their first and second round draft picks belong to the Dolphins in the draft next year. So you've got a team that's depleted already and built to win right now, but not effective. And you don't have a first or a second rounder. That is a difficult thing to step into. And we're talking about trades for Kenny Stills and Laremy Tunsil, all of the wheeling and dealing. That is
and you don't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore. You traded him for David Johnson.
I'm looking at the ESPN story on this too. Between the 2017 and 2021 drafts, Houston will have made two of the five potential first-round picks. In other words, you start off with one first-round pick every year. They've only made two of the five in that five-year period.
A couple of numbers. I know you like numbers. This is kind of funny. So Bill O'Brien, you know how many games he coached with the Houston Texans overall before getting fired? 100, exactly. And he got let go. 52-48 overall. I know a lot of, and we've had this, Darren and I went round and round. We had fun with this, that I'm clearly not a huge Bill O'Brien fan, coach, GM, because when I look at his overall body of work, yeah, he won the division. He did. It wasn't a very good division to win, but he won the division. he would get his team to the playoffs. And let's see, his playoff record in four appearances, 0-1, 1-1, 0-1, 1-1. And they really should have gone to the AFC Championship last year, but they blew that one.
Well, they shouldn't have won the game that they won, though. I think they were extremely fortunate to beat the Bills.
Well,
that's
also
true. Dead to right.
That's also true.
I think the Bills had full control of that game and let it get away. I don't know. I still don't know how they lost that game, honestly.
But, I mean, he had three straight years of 9-7, a 4-12 year, 11-5, 10-6, and then we know 0-4. So I'm not poo-pooing the fact that he won the division and he would get his team to the playoffs. It's what you do beyond that. I mean, they didn't make a conference final appearance, so he doesn't have that. Vrabel's at least already done that, and you can look at Vrabel and go, okay, he's 9-7 too. I mean, he's kind of middle of the road, but at least he figured out a way to get very big wins over the Patriots and the Ravens to get his team to the AFC Championship. I wouldn't call that a fluke at all. But now, do I think Bill O'Brien probably gets another opportunity, whether it's in college or the NFL? Yeah, I do. Maybe he takes some time off, but I he's only 51 years old. I think he probably gets another look somewhere. But I think Booger McFarland's quote of saying GM Bill O'Brien got head coach Bill O'Brien fired is spot on. The moves that he made in the front office were just boneheaded, and it hurt his team, and you could see that. And, yeah, they had a murderer's row of a schedule to start the season, but you can't use that as an excuse. Every week is a tough week in the NFL, and he ultimately paid the price for it. So now Romeo Crennel, he's going to see if he can get this turned around.
But this is where it's a double whammy. Because, and this goes back to the philosophy of allowing the coach to have that much say in the personnel. The coach is always worried about the next practice, the next game, the next opponent, and what can I do to help my team right now? And that's totally natural. And that's how you should feel as the coach. So he kept making moves to try to make them better right then and there. Even the move for Hopkins, that was sort of out of necessity, right? They knew that was sort of, hey, we've boxed ourselves in. We got all these people making all this money. We have to move the salary. We're not going to be able to keep them. So it was a move to trade their best player, but he backed himself into a corner so much, he almost had no choice. He had to get something for him or he was going to lose him, right? But now look at what the next GM has to inherit. This is where I'm talking about how it impacts the Titans and the division, right? No draft capital. No first and second round picks coming up this year. But also, there's nobody. They didn't have a first round pick last year, right? They also haven't had the chance to draft many young impact players in recent years. I'm reading off the ESPN site. Did you know, in week 3, when they lost to the Steelers, the Texans did not have a single rookie play a snap from scrimmage on offense or defense. Only cornerback John Reed, a fourth round pick, saw action on special teams. Now that is a troubling thing going forward. That because you have a depleted older roster to start with that's not winning now. That's going to make it doubly tough for the coming years. And on top of that, you don't have a first or a second round draft pick. So they don't have a nucleus here. So that's what's got to be really tough for Deshaun Watson as you look on the horizon here.
Yeah,
who, by the way, is still running for his life and not being protected very well.
Not only is it tough for Deshaun Watson, but it's going to be tough for whoever takes that job. You know, if things were left in better shape with a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, it's an attractive job. And it still is to an extent. I mean, I think anybody that has a chance to coach Deshaun Watson would take a long, hard look at it. But it's the other things that you pointed out that they're going to have trouble. Now, I have seen speculation, whether it's on ESPN or other sites, and then we even got a text to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com from Josh, who says, hot take, but Dabo Swinney comes in as coach for the Texans and reunites with Watson. Look out, AFC South. I don't know if I'm going to say look out, AFC South, because Dabo Swinney, while he is an excellent college coach, we have seen time and time again that sometimes it just doesn't work. of going from
why would you want that job, knowing that you have no, we just told you that no rookies played. Also, look at this puzzle that you have to figure out here. Will Fuller, he's on his fifth-year option. You haven't got that much to begin with from him because he struggles to stay healthy. When he's on the field, he's good. But what do you pay him next year? Do you keep him? Be pretty expensive, right? He's making $10 million right now on the fifth-year option.
The thing is, right now, I don't know if you have a choice.
22 games. Yeah, so you don't have a choice, but is he really a number one? That's a big question. How about Brandon Cooks? What are you getting from him right now? He's owed $12 million next year. No guaranteed money. So what do you do about him? You just cut him? You try to get him to come back at a lesser price? Maybe. But you got to have somebody that can help you. They also don't have a running back, right? David Johnson is not worth the money he's being paid, right? He's got a $9 million cap hit next year. So they've got a mess going forward. And J.J. Watt's not getting any younger. They've got issues. They've got issues. So I think,
and they got to hire a GM.
Look on the landscape, this is where the Titans have to be thinking, okay, this is our window. How do we keep our window open? Because the Texans might be spinning out of the game for a few years here.
Yeah, I mean, right now, if you're the Titans, right now, today, the only thing you have to worry about in your division, the only team, I should say, it's the Colts. Jacksonville.
Right. All the Colts have to do, I think, is find the quarterback that takes over and maybe find one more weapon offensively. They've got pretty much everything else. I think that's a short list of things. Of course, the quarterback thing is a huge thing, but they may not have to have a great quarterback to be a really good team. It'd be nice if they did. You agree?
No, I agree. I agree with that. But if the Titans can take care of business with Indianapolis, they should win this division. Now, they gotta keep themselves healthy, and they gotta get these guys back off the COVID list and get through that. Because that's obviously slowing things down. But, you know, it's those two teams right now in the division because, Romeo Crennel, he's been around for a long time. He's well-respected. He's been in that organization for a long time. He's not a very good head coach. He never has been. He's the interim. You're wanting him to try and right the ship. But a lot of his philosophies are the same that Bill O'Brien has because they're cut from the same cloth. You know, there's another example of the Patriot way. So, you salvage what you can out of this season if you're Houston, and now you got to figure out how you're going to replenish the cupboard. You got to hire a GM, so you got to find somebody, and it's probably going to be, my guess, an up-and-comer that's with a team somewhere. You know, I mean, there are a lot of good young head coaching candidates out there that you could entice to come work with Deshaun Watson. There's one right here in Nashville that could be, you know, a potential candidate in Arthur Smith. Eric Bieniemy is going to get a job.
There's already some clamoring for him.
He is going to get a head coaching job this offseason. You can mark that down. Like, there is not another offseason that goes by without Eric Bieniemy becoming a head coach. So and if you think about it, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, there are some similarities there that could be a good pairing. But it's building. You got to give him something to play with more than just the quarterback, and that's going to be the job of the new GM.
Yeah, the GM is going to have, I think, the bigger job, and then you got to figure out the right head coach. When we come back, we'll give you a quick update on Major League Baseball. What happened last night? The first day, the first evening. In the AL Division Series, the Braves start at 1 o'clock today. There'll be four games today, and so we'll update you on that. And then Adam Vingan will join us at 11 o'clock to talk NHL Draft, which is going on tonight. In the meantime, we're always keeping our eye on if there's any news coming out for the Titans. There hasn't been any since we started the show other than no new positives today. It seems like they're a step closer to playing the game against the Bills, although the signs are pointing to not having any of the players back who are on the COVID list be ready to play against Buffalo We still don't know about the injured players as well. Mike Vrabel will talk at 12:30. We'll have that for you. If any news breaks on the league's findings, the investigation of the protocols and everything like that, we're watching that closely as well. You're listening to 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville.
2-2. And Stanton lifts a fly ball, center field, deep and gone. A grand slam for Stanton. And that'll blow it open here in the ninth inning. The Yankees now lead 9-3.
The Bronx Bombers, they did their thing. 11 home runs in 3 postseason games. Even against the great pitching of the Rays. So the Rays and the A's, who had great regular seasons, they've been great teams. It's admirable how they put the teams together. But the old beasts, the old villains, both won yesterday and last night. The Astros came from behind and beat the A's 10-5. They had a huge two-out rally to take control of the game against a lot of the former Sounds. And, of course, the Yankees did their thing against Blake Snell. Judge homers, Stanton homers. Even though they missed so much time during this brief season, they're back, they're in there, and they're hitting well. So the old villains, they did their thing. It was disappointing to watch as somebody who likes kind of the underdog.
Yeah.
But that's how it went.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of pulling for the Rays. And, I mean, they had such a tremendous regular season. And then the Athletics, a close friend of mine, obviously a big A's fan. So kind of pulling for them. But it's only one game. So you got a chance in this best of five to try and turn it around. And see what you can do. But the Yankees, I remember Darren saying it last week, and I agree that, you know, the Yankees, they're dangerous, and they got guys back at the right time. They're swinging the bat hard. So they're going to be a tough out for any team, no matter how good of a regular season that, you know, Tampa had. But my eyes will be on the National League.
Oh, yes.
Starting
I'm sure.
At 1 o'clock today, Willie D, as my beloved Atlanta Bravos take on the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, I want to get to that in just one moment. One more point, though, I think is interesting. We've had a lot of discussions about TV ratings and how you have so many games on. It's hard to get the spotlight. It's hard enough for baseball anyway. But a matchup of the Yankees and the Astros, I have to say, even though these are the teams I root against, right? The Astros for the obvious reasons, the cheating, all of that stuff. And then, of course, the Yankees, because unless you're a Yankee fan, nobody roots for the Yankees, except for the Yankee fans, and they have a lot. But
this
from
is the
a rating standpoint,
game.
From a rating standpoint, Rays versus A's or Yankees versus Astros, it's a no-brainer for baseball, right?
Oh yeah, because this is the revenge series. I mean, because weren't the Yankees? They were the team that the Astros beat during the whole of the year, the cheating scandal, right? So
well, no, yes, yeah, both 17 and
yeah,
I'm sorry, 18 and yeah, 17 and last year wasn't last year the buzzer, right? The alleged buzzer
yeah.
on Altuve, the homer off of Chapman,
right?
So they'll be all that would be drudged back
right.
up.
So I mean,
which is great drama,
sure.
And I think more people would watch that. I would have to think, and of course, you're fighting to get all viewers, knowing that you don't have the fans and all of that. So. That's just a sidebar. I do think the Rays will come back and the A's too, and both of those series are far from over. The Yankees, if there is one weakness, they're a little thin in starting pitching after Garrett Cole. They don't have everybody there. They've got a couple of arms missing from the bullpen too. But yeah, and okay, so let's segue to the Braves. Can their starting pitching hold up again? I think they have a great opportunity playing the Marlins because not only are the Marlins inexperienced, they're kind of the underdog that wasn't supposed to be there. The Braves get to play them. And on top of that, the one guy that they traded for to add at the trading deadline, Starling Marte, is hurt, not going to play.
I think the thing that I'm really, you know, because I feel a little bit better about Braves pitching because Ian Anderson has shown me that, all right, he's ready, he belongs. Now, it's a small sample size, so you got to hope that if he gets – you know, just absolutely blown up that he's able to come back from that. But Max Fried is solid. I mean, I'm excited about the Braves pitching rotation for the future. with a healthy Soroka and Max Fried and then Ian Anderson. But what's Kyle Wright going to do?
And others. They've got others coming through the
they do.
Through the pike, too.
They do.
But especially if Kyle Wright continues in the direction he's going.
Mm-hmm.
Man, everything that they hoped for 2 or 3 years ago is just now coming into picture.
Yeah.
Right? And so the next 4 or 5 years look great for them.
Well, and I think what's interesting, I go back to our conversation yesterday with Nick Green, and then even before the season started, and I can't remember if it was Paul Byrd or Tom Glavine that we were talking to about Kyle Wright specifically, and it was basically he wasn't necessarily ready, but it was a necessity. And then you saw once he got sent down and they were able to work with him and they all, you know, the alternate training site, and then he came back, you saw just a more confident, a very different pitcher. So this is a big thing.
Isn't it crazy, too, how the one thing that has jumped out at this story is, I think it was Josh Tomlin that told him to try and pitch from the other side of the rubber.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't locating his pitches. Paul Byrd, I think it was Paul Byrd that we were talking to, the what you referred to, Chase. He wasn't locating his fastball. So when you throw 95, it doesn't mean anything at the major league level because you're going to get pounded if you don't locate. But somehow just changing his spot on the rubber has helped him locate better.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's kicked in. And also he's starting, we were talking to Nick Green about this, he's throwing a curveball more than a slider. He's a gifted athlete. I believe Kyle Wright, once the light continues to go on, he's always had the stuff. He's a smart guy. He's going to put in the work. It just took him a while, but we'll see how he reacts in this series. This is the first step, but what a great opportunity to beat the Marlins. But yeah, as we found out with the Cubs, you never know. Something about the Marlins. They scrapped their way. You're looking
fishy
at their players going, how in the world is this team winning this game?
I'm excited about the managerial matchup, too. Brian Snitker, a veteran, and then Don Mattingly, who's been doing this for a while. I mean, those two they're very smart baseball guys. And I know that National League ball is different now with the DH, but I'm looking forward to that, just the strategy that comes out of this series.
All right, that starts at 1 o'clock. 4 games today for Major League Baseball. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the NHL draft tonight. Adam Vinga will join us. We'll talk not only about the Predators at pick number 11, but also what else will be going on around the league? What other moves will be made based on the landscape going forward? Stay tuned. We're coming back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.